This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
It has been a massive 48 hours for the Central Coast Mariners. They farewelled the season with yet another come-from-behind win over the Melbourne Victory. But they continue to have the Football Nation talking after Mike Charlesworth's announcement that he's putting the club up for sale officially. Sean Mielekamp is the club's CEO and he joins us on At Home with FNR now. Sean, thanks so much for making the time.
Hey guys, how are we doing? Okay?
Yeah, we're doing well. More importantly, how are you doing? It's been a pretty big 48 hours.
Yeah, look, it definitely has. But as daunting as the proposition might be, it's also just as exciting. It's definitely something that everybody at the club has always known is at some stage going to happen. And now to have some clarity that that we will be looking to a new investment model and ownership model for the club means that hopefully, as we move forward, we can return the club to its former glories.
Well, maybe take us through the last few months for us, Sean. You mentioned the fact that maybe it's been a long time coming. What kind of conversations were being had and what led up to this decision?
Yeah, look, definitely COVID has been a huge impact, but the fact that we survived through the COVID, there were some pretty dark times and there were some really unknown areas there where some of the options for Mike could have been to hand the license back in and not fund the club through that period. But to his credit, Mike had stayed very strong and kept the club financially very sound through this. But then there's also, as we've started to unravel all the strategies for the club, we had definitely been working on a big strategy around the stadium and for the stadium plans to have fallen through recently with council meant that the only real solution for the club moving forward is to make sure we're definitely back winning games and definitely with some strong on-field performances. And that's not something that Mike has really bought into for himself, you know, to be able to see through financially. So he's as such, said the best thing for the club now is to put it up on sale and to bring in investors who can take the club forward.
So this council rejection regarding the management of the stadium, is that something that, you know, would have seen Mike Charlesworth stay on had that gone through, or was, you know, he leaning to sell the club anyway?
No, it definitely would have kept him on. He was looking to invest heavily into the stadium. It's a bit different when you're investing into bricks and mortar, unlike a player salaries type sort of a concept. But really what it was about creating revenue streams for the club to then fund the on-field performance. That's where Mike was confident. So we've been working for 4 years on the strategy around the stadium to really put in a solid proposal that was through there. And whilst we're still in discussions with council have made it clear that the proposal we put through isn't going to get move forward. It hasn't not been a decision by the elected councillors that's there. They have not seen the proposal up until yesterday. But now that it's been rejected, we were outside of confidentiality so that I could show them a bit more what that's about. So that's in essence what has really happened here is that the long-term strategy around the stadium, which we was really passionate about increasing the amount of events, bringing concerts to the venue and having the venue really underpin the financials of the club is no longer an option. And so Mike has decided to put the club up for sale.
Well, you mentioned the fact that you guys are obviously looking for investors and looking for some more money to come in. What are a few of the main pitches that you're offering to investors and what do you think they should be excited about when they're looking towards the Central Coast Mariners?
Yeah, I think definitely the most exciting thing about the Central Coast football is that we are the only market in the entire country where we're the number one sport from under sixes all the way through. So we have an exclusive market. We actually have what football craves all around the rest of the country. And we've only just really started to unearth and unlock some of that. But our academies are really strong. The academy pathway and the development, you know, comes through very strong. Our relationship with the local association is unbelievably strong. We almost feel like we're part of the one organisation at times. And so to unlock that and to really build generations of football fans coming out of what could potentially be a new heartland of football is something that is very exciting. Plus, we're only 1 hour down the road from Sydney and only 1 hour from Newcastle. So we're in a very prime location to actually really make sure that we can maximise the best of those in commercial aspects. But it needs a lot of support to continue to see that fruition.
So obviously the hope would be to keep the club where it is in Gosford on the Central Coast, but there's inevitably going to be interest from other markets to actually move the team and take up that license. You know, we know how hotly contested the A-League expansion was last year. So how confident are you of seeing the club continue to play out of Gosford?
Yeah, look, I'm extremely confident because it's in no one's interest for football in the country to see a region go down. And other codes have lost regions, and we've lost regions. And yeah, they never come back. They never come back and are part of the football community with any strength anymore. So the other regions and the expansion talk is about expansion rather than a relocation scenario. So that does give me confidence that this is about keeping the Central Coast here. And if there are other markets, yeah, that should join the A-League and should grow, then great, let's do it. But just picking up and moving, no other market wants the Mariners there. I don't think that's a reality type sort of a scenario. So for me, yeah, they're two different conversations, and that's not just in the decision. It's not like Tony Sage just can't wake up tomorrow morning and decide that he's going to move to Darwin or move to Gold Coast. Those decisions and frameworks aren't there. So it needs to be a collective across the game, and I'm sure collectively across the game that the Central Coast market is one that's really passionate to stay a football region and continue to grow.
From an on-field perspective, we know the struggles that Central Coast have had for Wooden Spoons in the last 5 years. Are there some new strategies looking to be brought in from a footballing perspective? Are there any new faces coming in, and will that be part of the pitch to investors? Is that there'll be a new on-field strategy coming through the club to see an increase in results?
Well, we've only just started our off-season, and our off-season is when the big decisions and the hard reviews do come through from that. But what I can say is that the appointment of Alan Stadjic was a long-term appointment on a three-year deal, and it was to break the cycle of what we had been doing. So part of the problem for us as a club is we had been reactionary, and we'd been cycling through coach after coach and having to start again. And so when we appointed Alan, we knew that this was a long-term appointment. We knew that it would be a rocky path, but we knew it wasn't an easy fix. We really needed to build something from scratch, right from the bottom. So we're 1 year into that journey, and I think when you look at our last game and you look at some of the talent that has come through, the amazing job that Ken Chembery and Nick Montgomery have been doing in our academy to produce talent to come through into the first team, and now for that talent to already, within 1 year, start producing not only results but goals and wins, is exciting, and we've got to stick to that course. And then on top of that, there's the room of flexibility for a new investor to really drop in what we need at the top end to make sure that the kids that we have at this club can really grow and prosper to be the best that they can be and do it in a winning fashion.
Now, Central Coast over the years, has gained something of a reputation as being a bit of a nursery for Australian football. There's been a few big-name Socceroos who've come through the club and been developed there. Is this potentially an opportunity with, certain reforms being made by FFA to the transfer system, with the season switching over so players don't come off contract as soon as the European clubs come after them? With a club with such a strong focus on youth development, is that potentially a revenue stream for you to develop talent and get transfer fees for them?
Absolutely. And I'm very passionate that the A-League needs to learn from the other leagues around the world, and football needs to look like football. And so to have a development club, to have a selling club that is in the league is common around the world. And we've got an amazing opportunity to be there. We've seen quality homegrown talent that we haven't been able to keep a hold of, gone to other clubs and moved with no transfers that's there. And the damage that holds is it means that there's less incentive to invest more into the academy, whereas where the investment needs to happen. We need to keep driving more talent and growing the talent pool that's there. So I see a huge opportunity that's there. We've now got a new CBA coming. We've now got, all the rules are off after COVID. So to bring in a transfer market, it would be very appealing not only to this club, but future investors into this club and would make a big difference, absolutely.
In terms of fans, in terms of the fans around Central Coast, have there been many conversations with members and the leaders of the Central Coast fan organisations in regards to maybe offering them some reassurance and keeping them in the loop about the plans going forward?
Yeah, look, I I spent with, you know, some of the leadership groups. You know, I watched the game with them, you know, down at West Gosford, and we had a great time. And I'm speaking with some of them again this afternoon and tonight, and we're in regular conversation. There's one thing that we are very passionate about is our fan engagement and our conversation there. What has been really exciting for me, and I really hope that it does gather momentum, is in the last 24 hours, how much talk there's been about community ownership models and the ways that fans can get in, you know, and to turn what is in effect a licensed club into a genuine club, you know, with member buy-in and member commitment. I think it's so exciting. And I'm definitely keen to drive and pursue a lot of that. But I know that there's a lot of our fans out there who said, if I can, you know, be a part of a stakeholder of a club, not just a season ticket holder who pays my money and is expected to sit in the seat, I think that it could really add something you know, special to this club in this region.
Well, there's different fan ownership models from all around the world. We know a lot about the Bundesliga and the 50+1 rule, but there's also, you know, some of the Spanish clubs who have their socios, their members who, you know, end up electing the executives and so forth. We saw actually North Queensland Fury, I remember, sort of propose this in the last throes of their A-League existence, and it was sort of turned down by FFA. FFA didn't seem really interested in having fan ownership in the league. They felt, you know, they'd prefer to have sort of one wealthy individual back a club. Do you think perhaps, you know, with all the changes that have happened since then and FFA adopting maybe a different stance, they'd be open to community ownership now?
Most definitely. That was a part of the point of the independence. So, you know, under the previous regime for the FFA, I can understand that community ownership is not something that would have been on their agenda. But now it's an independent league as we move forward, and there's no reason to not really, you know, look at these for the first time and really unlock them. I think it is exciting, and it is difficult if there's going to be, you know, if someone wants to own a club and they're an independent owner, why would they, you know, let the inmates run the asylum as, you know, type of sort of comments come up. But in saying that, for our club in our region, it's different. You know, we are entrenched in this region, and we are the only national team that's here, and we've got a lot of kids. We've got more coaches, qualified coaches per head of capita than anywhere else in the country. So it actually makes sense for us to have a very serious, hard look at this, and hopefully we can unlock something special.
In terms of that independent A-League and the clubs having more of a say and really operating the A-League on their own, What specific parts of that do you think will excite those coming into the Mariners setup? And do you think that without the independent A-League and without that new setup going forward, it would be as easy for Central Coast to be optimistic about their future and be optimistic about, you know, the decision that's being made in regards to selling the club?
Yeah, look, I think that this ties into why Mike has chosen now to look to sell the club because of the independence. He always was very, very passionate about it and wanted to drive change and be part of that change. But also it means that he feels that he's got a better product to put on the market now, because you actually get a say in how the league is run. Previously, you could make whatever song and dance you wanted as a club, as a collective. You know, the 10 clubs previously could all agree on something and didn't matter. You know, it wasn't our call to make, whereas the world has changed in that. So in holding a license, you'll hold 1/12 of the of Leagues Co. That's looking to run the league, which is really exciting. So you can have a bit of a say that comes into that, and there's a lot more freedom, you know, that comes along with that in that. So what does that mean? That means definitely salary cap gets reviewed in a different way. Transfers can come in, and the destiny's in our own hands. You know, what does the NYL look like, and all those decisions that were kind of well entrenched becomes really open, and coupled with the fact that there is a open-mindedness now to the future broadcast situation. So the game had been heavily dictated and monitored from Fox and what Fox wanted. That's why we're in summer. Now there's an understanding we may not be with Fox for the long term, and there's a heavy conversation around winter. And again, I'm a huge fan of going to winter. It suits our club extremely. We won't have to compete with the beach, you know, for entertainment on a very hot, sunny summer's day. But on a cold winter's night, to you know, crack a nice cold beer and put the scarf on and cheer your team, that's perfect in Gosford. It's a really good time, and the football's better. I think the one thing that this little period has really opened up for us is that the quality of football on the pitch, because of the time of year, is significantly better.
Nothing better than a cold night in front of the sauce bottles. down here in Melbourne, we've got to compete with the AFL and so forth, but you guys have got to compete with the beautiful beach. So I think that's almost a more challenging scenario. You mentioned a lot of things there, you know, the Fox deal, the TV rights, the salary cap. Are there any sort of specific reforms that the club's looking for with regards to, obviously we know the revenue is going to be cut with Foxtel renegotiating that deal. There's all sorts of talk about, you know, foreign player restrictions changing and salary cap being scrapped or lifted or altered. Are there any specific reforms that the club is agitating for to make it, you know, more viable for Central Coast to operate in this league?
Yeah, player transfers, I think it would be the top of the list. You know, we need to be able to shore up contracts. I think there's some good movements around the NPL to be able to play players up until the age of under 23. So the difference now is that if there's a red hot 19-year-old, we can look at putting him on a 3 or 4 year contract, whereas before you could only have him on a 1 year contract. By having him on a 1 year contract, you're not going to be able to sell them or do anything here with that commercially, because the player and the agent will just wait till the end of the contract and then sell down the road to the next club. Whereas now at 19, you can identify talent. Yeah, back your coaching staff for it, put them on a 3 year deal, develop that talent, and then commercialise the benefit of that, so that we can have the next Aaron Moyes, Matty Ryan sort of stories, that help fund the clubs. You know, it was interesting. I just saw the other day that one of the highest transfers we had here at this club was Rossen Griffiths at, $1.3 million. Now just to think that how long it's been since the league has made a sale of $1.3 million is where we need to get back into the global market.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for coming on and giving us updates to where the club's at. You know, it's a pretty convincing sales pitch you've made. If I had a spare, $6 to $10 million, then I'd be on the phone to Mark Charlesworth straight away. But thank you for making the time. All the best with the future of the Central Coast Mariners. We hope they stay in Gosford where they belong, and we wish you all the best.
Good stuff. Cheers. It might only be $1,000 that you need to come up with under a community model, so who knows?
There you go. There you go. Well,
only $1,000, Josh.
We'll start the GoFundMe now. Central Coast Mariners up for sale, but Sean Mielekamp, the CEO, says the future is still bright.